And those that have studied out Mother's Day realize some of the reasons it was started and the purposes, and it's carried that same idea throughout the years, is that time that you can celebrate your mother, or bottom line, thank your Lord for the mother. I don't know about you, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this carefully. I believe I have my world, and all of you, the rest of you, listen out. But with saying that, there's not one mother that is perfect. All mothers have their troubles and issues. And that is because they're married to the husband they're married to. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I thought I would share just a little humor there. Some of you thought I was really going to, and then you're like, oh man, you got us too. It is interesting though, when we do Mother's Day or Father's Day messages, sometimes we gear just to the mother, we gear just to the father. Sometimes it's an uplifting message. Sometimes it's a challenging message. Sometimes the kids get hit. Sometimes it depends and it's all around. Well, today is one of those messages. It's for mothers, for fathers, for children, for all of us. And hopefully it'll be an encouraging message, but it's also going to be a challenging message. This message this morning is a message that hits all those marks. And so as we look at this, though, I want us to look at some truths and how to be healthy. How to be healthy. How to be healthy as a family. Whatever your family unit may consist of. How to be healthy. So as we look at this, yes, we're going to look at mothers, and we're going to look at how in a healthy home you have to take care of your mother, how you have to love your mother, and how you have to lead her, and all those different things we're going to look at in just a few minutes. We're also going to look at how to have a healthy home, what the role of the father is, the role of the husband is, what the husband ought to do. But kids, you're not off. We're going to come to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at how the children are to react and what the children are to do, so we can have a healthy home. And I trust each of us, as we look at Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 this morning, and we're not going to be able to cover everything that's in these verses, but we're going to try our best. So we may be here to the afternoon service at 5 o'clock. So just stay put, and we'll get through this morning. But I trust this to be a help and encouragement to each of us. Now, healthy. What does it mean to be healthy? Now, there's a difference in our day and age. People associate being skinny with being healthy. Now, there is some truth. Sometimes when you are skinny, you are healthy. But just because you're skinny does not mean you're healthy. Because there's a lot of people that are skinny, and I'm one of them, that are skinny. At least that's a mirror I looked in this morning. Those that are skinny are not healthy. Why? Because to get to the way they look and make themselves look like they're healthy, and people think, oh man, they must be healthy, they're skinny, they've done things that they should not have done to their bodies to get to that place. They have not eaten what they should have eaten, and they went on a toast diet, and the only thing they had was a piece of toast and butter their whole life. Or some went on a Jell-O diet. And let me tell you, what nutritions do you get from Jell-O? Some of you like Jell-O. Some of you like the Jell-O you make and you play with. You know what I'm talking about, the finger Jell-O. And you know what, they make good things and throw on the wall and they kind of come down. Don't do that, kids. You get yourself in trouble. But there's ways that people make themselves so they think, well, if I'm skinny, I'm healthy. No. There are some people that are bigger, that are healthier than those that are skinny. There's people that are on different medications for blood pressure and for all different things that are skinny. And there's people that are heavier that don't take any medication. So what makes a person healthy? Well, it has to do with how you treat your body, what you put your body in, and what you do. Here's the idea I want us to get this morning. There are many families, many homes, many family units that look healthy. They look skinny, but they're not healthy. They're struggling. You see, what we have seen over the years, sometimes we're surprised by families that we thought were spiritual or healthy families split apart, and we go, how did that happen? Well, what has happened is they were never healthy. They were never a healthy family as you and I may assume they were because of their looks and that. You say, well, how some people forsaken their faith, and how have they turned against God? How was there used to be a guy that was a spiritual leader in his home that led his home the way he should and did everything he should, and now he doesn't even darken the door of a church, and now he's not faithful, he's not reading, he's not doing those things, he's not living for God. How does that happen? Because we looked at him as healthy, but he was not healthy. We understand God sees the heart. We see the exterior. God sees our heart. God knows the truth. Many times we think that some are healthy and they're not. Now let's go a little further. How many times have we thought we're healthy and we're not? How many of you had your yearly checkup before and you were excited because you thought going into your yearly checkup, your doctor was going to say, yeah, you're great. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything looks good. Everything checks out. I tell you, you're perfect because you thought you'd been doing everything you should. And you snuck this and you done this. But, you know, you thought you really were going to come in and everything was going to be great. And they take your blood pressure and say, huh, what have you been doing? Why, doc? Well, your blood pressure's low. Let's just wait a few minutes and we'll check it again in a few minutes. And they go and do the blood work. And they have the lady come in with the 20 tubes. And she sticks you and fills all the tubes of blood out. And they're going to send that off. And then he does your blood pressure. It's still high. He goes, well, it should be okay. Let's keep an eye on this and check. Wait till your blood work comes back. Well, you think, oh, my blood work is going to come back. It's going to be great. Now, this day and age, some of you have the ability to see your blood work before you actually meet with your doctor. You have a profile through your doctor's office. You can go on and you can read this. And some of you think you're doctors and nurses and know how to read it. And you start to look at it and you start to read it and you think, oh, it looks okay. But the doctor's office calls and says, we want you to come back in. Why, doc? Oh, we just want to come in and discuss your blood work. Oh, it looked good. I already looked at it. Well, you go in and what you thought was good, the doctor says isn't good. Your cholesterol is high, this is high, that's high, this is not good. And all of a sudden, when we thought we were healthy, we were shown we're not. This morning, as we look at a familiar portion, I want us to examine each of ourselves. And I want us to see, are we a healthy individual? Are we a healthy family? In this gives us the keys to build a strong, godly home. A strong, healthy home. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me in verse number 21. And we'll read through verse number 1 of, or actually verse number 2 of chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord cherisheth the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that he reverence her husband. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time that we can open your scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Now, we see the comparison between a healthy home and the comparison to the church. I want us to look at how to have a healthy home. First, I want to look at what the husband's role is. What is the husband supposed to do? Well, look at verse number 25 again. Therefore, as the church, our husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then go ahead and look at verse number 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I want you to see the idea this morning. To have a healthy home, the husband has to love his wife. Well, that's so basic, preacher. That's so profound this morning. But it's a truth I think we miss sometimes. Because a husband is to love his wife. What does it mean that a husband is to love his wife? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 this morning. Turn with me back over there. Now, some of you know this chapter, and some of you can quote this chapter this morning. And you know what it's going to tell us. But this is the love that is supposed to be shown. And it also tells us the love as God, for Christ's sake, has loved the church. But look at 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. A husband that loves his wife is long-suffering with his wife. What does that mean? Now, some of us are going to get hit a little bit here. This is what I told you. I told you some of this is going to be encouraging, some of this is going to be hitting. It says that love is long-suffering. And a husband is to love his wife. It means a husband is to be able to look past some of the struggles that the wife has. I don't want to say another word, I was thinking, because I don't want the wife mad at me. Because imperfections, maybe, is a good word to put. But the husband's to understand, do you know your wife is not perfect? Either are you, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But you're to love your wife and be long-suffering. Now, we have to understand sometimes, there's some ways that the lady thinks that doesn't make sense to us, all right? Let's just be honest. Now, please do not get mad at me this morning. I'm just speaking truth. There's some ways that the lady thinks that we don't fully comprehend and understand as men. Our minds are wired differently. This is proven. The way we think and the way we act is differently than the way that a woman, lady, looks and thinks, okay? There's a reason in the Word of God that ladies aren't pastors, okay? That's a whole nother message, but there's a reason. Because the way they're wired, we would have no members in a church if a lady was a pastor. She would get rid of them all because of the way they think, right? Some of you are smiling because you agree with me, right? But you're to love long-suffering. It means you handle what is given. And you look past those things and you realize, God has given me a gift. God has given me something precious. Yes, she's not perfect. Yes, she has some faults, if you will. Yes, but I have love for it. I'm long-suffering. That means I don't get upset. Now, we're speaking to all of us here. It means I don't get upset when my wife doesn't do what I think she should do. It means I don't get mad and upset and angry because things aren't always done the way I want them done. This is long-suffering. I told you it's going to hit some of us, all right? Some of you thought I was just kidding. Look at this. It's long-suffering and is kind. What does the word kind mean? Long-suffering means you deal with it, you handle it, you do those things. What does kind mean? Love is kind. We're to love her. Kids, you're to love your mother as well. We're going to get in that verse there. But what is kind? Kind means you put your wife, your mother, before yourself. That's a word that kind means. That means you look for acts of kindness and things you can do for your mother, not just on Mother's Day. That means every day of your life, as a husband, as a child, we are to look at ways to show love, and the way to show love is as long-suffering, but it's also kind. Now, we got to get through this quickly. Look at the next thought given here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. What do? You put mother, the wife, before yourself. You don't think highly of yourself. You think highly of mother, of your wife. You know a lot of issues we have in a home that's not healthy is because the husband and the children have a wrong view of themselves and a wrong view of mother, of the wife. You see, I'm to love, I'm to be kind, I'm to be long-suffering, I'm to build up my wife, my mother, I'm to help, I'm to encourage, I'm to do things, but I'm to realize it ain't all about me. A lot of times in an unhealthy home, it's because the father, the husband, thinks highly of himself. And he needs not to think highly of himself. He needs to put his wife, the children are to put their mother above themselves. Go to back to Ephesians there. And there's a whole lot more there, but we don't have time. Because we'd be going to next Sunday if we look at all those. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see. Also we see in this portion of scripture, the husbands to love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then also tells us that we are to lead. We are to lead. Verse 22 through 24 tells us we are to lead. How to have a healthy home? You need to love your wife. But you need to lead your wife. The wife submits, but the husband leads. What does it mean to lead? It does not mean that you just bark out orders and tell your wife this is what she has to do. This means that you are walking with God, and as you as a husband is walking with God, this is how to have a healthy home. As you as a husband is walking with God, the wife sees your example, and as she sees your example, she listens to your voice. You see, a wife is not going to submit. Now, a wife needs to submit, but a wife's not going to submit when she sees hypocrisy given. You see, a husband is to lead, but to lead by example and by voice. Let me tell you, when you hear someone that is 600 pounds, and they come and tell you how to lose weight and what you need to do to be healthy, how many are going to listen to that person that's 600 pounds? None of us are. Now, if someone comes and they're within their weight range, and they look healthy in that, and they give you some advice and told you how they lost 400 pounds before to get down to this place, how many are going to listen to that person? You're going to listen to that person. The same happens in the home. The husband, for a healthy home, does not need to just bark out orders, but needs to lead by example and live the way he's ought to be living in his life. And as he does that, then the wife submits and listens to the husband. That's a healthy home. A healthy home is a husband leads. How do we lead? Get in the Word of God yourself. Men, you want to have a happy, healthy home? Be in the Word of God. Get your families around the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Love the Word of God. And you will see a healthy home start to happen and produce. You see, an unhealthy home has to do with the father of the home. Now you say, well, preacher, I'm very healthy, I'm very spiritual, but none of my family's living for God. That can happen. But let me tell you, examine yourself just for a moment, not to be unkind or mean, because I bet you'll find some areas that you need to tighten up just a little bit. Because I believe if we as the leader in the home is healthy, is doing what we're supposed to be doing, you're going to see your family start to do what it's supposed to be doing. And you're going to get back to that healthy home there. He's the love, he's the lead. We also need to learn. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 11, verse 12, and then drop down to verse 26. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father the son is in whom he delights. Drop down to verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken away. We need to learn from the instruction of our parents. Not just for mother, but from all. But we need to listen. We need to learn. Do you know, I believe God has given the ladies in the home some godly wisdom. And if we had time, there's many other scriptures we could look at. God has given the lady godly wisdom. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman. And in there, it talks about what her family will do for those of the virtuous woman and what she's done for them. But it also talks about in there some of the instructions, some of the things that they've been given. We need to listen. How many of you like to listen? You don't have to admit it. How many of us, we all struggle with this probably, think we already have all the answers of life? And we know exactly what to do, right? Do you know, I believe God gives the mother some special insight, the wife some special insight at times. I'll be honest. There's times that Tanya has told me stuff and I go, uh-huh, I didn't listen. And then guess what? She was right. Now, I didn't want to admit that. I just did. But she was actually right. And we need to listen. We need to listen to that. And Proverbs 31, it tells us and it gives us the instructions and it talks about this in there. We need to look up to her. We need to look after her. We're to love. We're to reverence. We're to respect. We're to do those things. That's what the husband is to do for the wife. We could spend the whole day on that. But I want to look at the wife now in the healthy home. The wife. What is the wife supposed to do? Well, let's look at Scripture. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? The wife is supposed to do that. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Verse 33. So she's to submit. And she's to reverence. Now, wives, the husband's supposed to take care of you. Husband's supposed to love you. The children are supposed to do certain things we're going to get in a minute. All that's supposed to happen. But you have a responsibility in a healthy home. Your responsibility in a healthy home is to listen to the spiritual wisdom of the spiritual leader in the home. You're to follow. We live in a day, now I understand ladies can do things. Please don't take this their own way. I understand ladies have some strengths and have some things and they're able to do things. But in a healthy home, God has established the husband to be the husband and the wife to be the wife. And as I said before, God has created the wife differently than he's created the husband. And the wife is to be a support, is to be a arm, is to help the husband do what the husband's supposed to be doing. What do I mean by that? Well, how many remember a battle going on in war, and every time the arms were dropped, they started to lose? And what had happened? They had to bring individuals to what? Lift up the arms. Do you know what the wife does in the home? She is to lift up the arms of her husband. This is the idea of submitting. Now, this is far different than the idea we get in our world today, what it means. People think, well, submitting means my wife's going to be my slave, and she has to do everything I tell her to do. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's in this society that the wife is to be the doormat. That's not what this is talking about. What it's talking about is the wife is to have a gentle spirit about herself with the goal to lift up the arms of her husband so they can have a healthy home, whatever their family unit is. That is the whole idea there, is this whole idea of the mother, the wife, to submit herself, to bring herself to a place that she realizes her role in the home is to help unite the home and to create a sweet spirit in the home, to lift up the arms of the husband, because the husband's not always going to do what he needs to do. And sometimes he needs that little encouragement, that little help, and he needs those arms lifted up so that home can be healthy together. Not only does it say submit, but it also says that she's to reverence. Now, it does not mean the wife walks in and bows down to you. All right, Rick, I see that face. You just looked at your wife and I know what you were thinking. I could tell. That's not what it's talking about. Okay, it's not saying then, oh, great Rick, you're so wonderful. I can't believe I have the privilege to be married to you. I won't even say what I was thinking. I was thinking something. I'll tell you after. But no, the idea is this, to have reverence. What does it mean? It means that you do not badmouth your husband. Now, I know ladies don't gossip anymore. That's back in the old days. That's back in the old days when they had nothing to do, right? Except cook and all those things, right? Back in the Laura Ingalls days, right? And how many ever watched Laura Ingalls, all right? And what did they always do? They had nothing else to do, and they would always get together and gossip, right? No ladies gossip today. I mean, you're all more spiritual than that now. But what happens a lot of times, we don't call it gossip anymore. We call it, we need to pray for our husband. We spiritualize it, right? Pray for my husband. He is awful. He's done this and he's done that. And that, 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 that. But pray for him, right? That's what we do. But the idea is this whole idea of reverence. This whole idea of reverence is that we not bowing down, but we have a respect. But a respect, why? Because that respect is that we come together and unite together so we can be used together for the glory of God. And this idea of reverencing our husbands is we're not trashing our husbands or tearing down our husbands, but we're building up our husbands. Why? Because we're supposed to submit. Why? Because we're supposed to lift up their arms. Why? Because we're supposed to be an encouragement and a help to them. Now, wives, your husbands are far from perfect. And there's going to be times, just to be honest, you probably want to strangle your husband, all right? There's going to be times that we don't think, again, the same way you think. And you probably told them 1,000 times to take off their greasy shoes when you walk in the house. And they still walk in the house after you spend all day cleaning the house with their greasy shoes. And you're ready to kill them, all right? I understand there's times. There's times that you've made this gourmet dinner and it's been sitting there waiting and getting cold, and your husband was supposed to be home hours before, and he never even called. But he got tied up and didn't realize, but you still, and he walked in the door. And what you did is you took his food and you threw it away because you were mad. But your husband's not always perfect, right? But even if they're not perfect, you're still supposed to reverence them. You're still supposed to support them. You're still supposed to encourage them. What does this mean? When your husband does wrong, which he will do wrong, a healthy home sits down together, discusses it, both husband and wife, and they come to a place where they're encouraging one another to grow together and to grow in the Lord and get past of whatever the issue was. See, if a husband loves his wife, that's what's going to happen. If the wife loves and respects and submits to her husband, that's what's going to happen. Is you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems in a home. A healthy home doesn't mean everything's always perfect. A healthy home means you're able to get together, work it out around the Word of God and around God, and you grow because of it. And as a result, you're healthier than you ever were before. Now, children, just when you think you're off the hook, look at Ephesians chapter 6. And there's a whole lot more there we can preach. But I want to look at the children. We looked at the wife. We looked at the husband. Let's look at the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know why children don't live long? Because they don't honor their parents, and the parents take care of them. No, just kidding. That's not what it's saying there. You know, you could preach that, though. It would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? If you disobeyed your mother, Olivia, you're going to live a short life, because your mama's going to end it real quick. Now, that's not what this is saying. It is kind of fun, though. We could have fun with that one. But it says, children, obey your parents. The children's role in a healthy home is to realize their place in the home. Now, this is not popular today. This is not what many like to hear, the children. The parents like this, but the children don't like this. Did you like that, children's? They don't like that. I caught myself, so probably about 20 texts are going to come through about what I just said. And they're not what is popular today. It's not what's being encouraged in schools and friends and others. But children, your role in the home is to be the child. Your role in the home is to be the child. You are not the adult. You are not the parent. You are the child. And some say, well, when I reach 18, then I am an adult. That's fine. Then move out of the house. Because you are still the child. And it's interesting, if you study out Idaho law, a lot of states, once they turn 18, they have legally, you know, parents have no legal responsibility. In Idaho, it is different. In Idaho, as long as they're in the home, the parent still has responsibility for the child. And so, children, you are to obey. You are to be the child in the home. You are to be the one that understands their role in the home. You're not the parent. You're to obey. You're not to give rules. What do you mean? It means when mom says, Regan, and gives the rules that she's supposed to do, Regan is to obey, not to argue. And I use Regan because Regan never argues, I know. And to do that, I would use my own, but that would be far from the truth. Especially one, Ezra. But the whole idea is this. The children are supposed to obey, not to argue. Not to defend their view of what they want to do. You see, the husband is to lead, is to love, is to encourage. The wife is to submit and to have reverence and to be a help and to lift up their arms. But the children are to obey because the children are to listen to their parents who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. See, a healthy home means this. Mom and dad are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but children have to do what they're supposed to be doing. So the whole unit works together to glorify God. And when the children aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, guess what's going to happen? Then mom and dad aren't going to be able to do what they're supposed to be doing. Because instead of mom doing her role, she is now dealing with children and getting upset and not happy, which creates some issues. And then what happens is it's taken out on dad. And then when it's taken out on dad, dad's not happy. And it's taken out on mom. And there's all the issues and all the problems. Why? Because everything's out of balance. How many have done wash before? And you put something in the wash that you probably shouldn't, and the washer gets uneven, right? And what happens to the washer? It's unbalanced, right? It sounds like it's going to come through the wall. Now, the other day, we had flooring put in the church. We voted on that a while back, and we're planning to do that, and just because everything hasn't, we actually got a really good deal. Looks nice if you're not here. And we got it in the bathrooms, in the kitchen, and the entryways. It looks really good. Well, we had to take out in the bathrooms all the partitions and all the toilets. That was a chore, but not as much as a chore putting it all back in. And we put it back in, and we put it in, and the toilet was in, and everything's in. It was a day later, someone came to me and says, it sounds like the toilet's going to explode. And I thought it was outside there doing work because it was so loud and the building felt like it was vibrating. It came from the toilet. And I tell you, it sounded like the toilet was off balance. And so I think there was some air in the lines or something. I just turned it off, turned the water on, back on, and it seemed to cure the problem. And I talked to Wade this morning. He's going to look at that, make sure that's all that was. And we had this noise. But when something's off balance, that's what happens in a home. When the children don't do what they're supposed to be doing, it off balances the whole home. When the mom's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, the home's not in balance. The same with the father. Children obey, but look at verse 2. Honor. You're to obey, but you're to honor. That means you have respect for mom and dad. It means you don't just do a bunch of rules and obey those rules and do what you're supposed to do. It means that you honor your parents. How do you honor them? It means you keep your mouth shut. It means you don't argue. It means you're not disrespectful. It means you are very careful what comes out of your mouth towards your parents. Because remember, you're the child, you're not the parent. Remember, what comes out of this is to be obedient and to honor. And if I'm not obedient and I'm not honoring with this, then I better keep it shut. Because my role as a child in the home is to honor and to respect and to obey. See, a healthy home has a husband who leads, has a husband who loves, has a husband who learns, has a wife who submits, a wife that reverences, a wife that lifts up the arms, and has children who honor and to obey. But ultimately, do you know what the key is to a healthy home? The key to the healthy home is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know what the key to a healthy home is? Submitting to God. Do you know when the husband submits to God, he's going to do his role? When the wife submits to God, she's going to do her role. When the children submit to God, the children are going to do their role, and you have a healthy home. That is the key to have a healthy spiritual home. You can force your husband to love you, but he truly is not going to love you as he should. You can force your husband to be the spiritual leader, but he's not going to be the spiritual leader he ought to be. You can force your wife to submit. You can force your wife to reverence. You can force your children to obey. You can force your children to honor you. And it can look healthy all on the outside. They can do all that they're supposed to be doing. And people at church say, oh man, they got a wonderful home. Oh, they got wonderful kids that are so respectful and so... And you can have that facade. But the key comes down to this. Children will never do what they're supposed to do. Moms will never do what they're supposed to do. And fathers will never do what they're supposed to do truthfully and have a healthy home till we all learn to submit to God. Because when I'm submitting to God and yielding to God, that means I've given God everything. I've yielded myself. I've turned myself over. When I'm submitted to God, I'm going to listen to my mom and dad and realize I don't know anything. And realize I need to obey them and honor them and love them. And it's not just going to be something I'm doing because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. I'm doing it because I love God. And because I love God, I want to do what God wants me to do. You see, the key for our children to be healthy spiritually is we need to pray that our children learn to submit to God. Because then when they submit to God, then it comes into line. Our wives, mothers, the ladies of this church, the key is submit to God. You won't fight against your husband if you learn to submit to God. You won't have a hard time being that godly mother in the home when you submit to God. Husbands, you won't struggle being that spiritual leader in the home and encouraging your kids, encouraging your wife, and loving as you should, and putting them first and foremost, except God, in your life when you learn to submit to God. The key is we have to learn to submit. Mother's Day, Father's Day, we do need a children's day sometime. Maybe we should create it. And it's wonderful to have time to celebrate. Wait, every day is children's day, right? Every day they get something, usually, right? But we need to celebrate it. We need to thank God for our mothers, for our fathers, for our children. But let us make sure that we are what we're supposed to be. Because when we're what we're supposed to be, we'll have a healthy home. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you. Even your word convicts. And we thank you it does convict. We thank you it encourages. Lord, I pray whatever we needed today that you gave us. Lord, you know our needs. You know where we're at. You know what we're struggling with. Lord, help each of us daily to keep yielding to you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, those that are here, go ahead and stand with me. Music's going to start playing. As the music's playing, why don't you just take some time between you and God? Maybe there's something, as we looked at this familiar portion, that God just spoke to you. As a child, as an adult, as a mother, as a father, just take some time and do business with God. The key is not to say how terrible you are. The key is to see where we have not done what we should and fix it and become healthy because of it. Let us grow. Let us mature. Let us become a healthy home.